podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Hello everyone. So it was a weekend of anger, self-loathing and rash decision-making. But enough about my attempts to assemble a flat pack. We're here to discuss FPL, and following on from Thursday's emergency pod, I feel like that anger, self-loathing and rash decision-making may have been echoed elsewhere on this podcast, as another wildcard seems to have appeared in our midst. Well, how the turns table from last week being told I've gone too early and I should probably have held it for a bit longer. Not by you, Sam, but by others. Here we are in wildcard territory for vast numbers of people by the looks of it, at least on X. I'm Tom. I'm here, but with no beer again. Damn Tuesday morning appointments. I think it might be that way next week as well, annoyingly. I'm joined by Sam, though, as always. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, probably less good than going into the weekend. I really enjoyed our pod on Thursday. So hopefully we can flip the script today and kind of abuse me instead. I think I went fairly light on you, that just is, saying so name, please don't be too
it
horrible.
Wasn't you giving me the bad feedback?
Yeah.
you just enjoyed it so much you thought we just do it again.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, exactly. I mean, why stop a good thing? Yeah, I mean, it's been a nightmare game week again. We'll get into the teams in a minute, but it was a bit depressing this Saturday. Sat down early, went to the bakery, got all the treats in for my girlfriend as well to keep her sweet, and sat in front of the TV, really looking forward to all the football on. And by the time it got to 7:30, I was like, this has just been an absolute unqualified nightmare. So that wildcard button got hit pretty quickly after that. But yeah, enough about my team for now. We'll get on to that. We are who got the assist. We are still opening up the mini league. So if you are interested in joining, we're going to close it in game week 10. The code for that is MINLUD. So do make sure you get involved in that before we close it off in a couple of weeks. On today's pod, as I mentioned, we're going to flip the script. I'm on a wild card. So Tom is going to interview me this time to see whether or not I can survive an interrogation on some X versus Y situations, linking in a few questions with the non-wildcarders as well, of course. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss whether you're on a wildcard or not anyway. And we're also going to catch up with the bowl claims and the listener questions and, of course, run in through our teams ahead of game week 8. We're recording on the 2nd of October. Had to quickly check the date there. I wasn't completely confident. The Fulham-Chelsea game is about to start, but there's no Sterling in, so I'm much less excited in actually checking that out. But if you hear any sort of mumbling in the background, it's because Sterling's been subbed on and he's blocked my Saliba six-pointer on the bench. Luton-Burnley tomorrow night, so we haven't got the double game week out of the way just yet. But for now, that's all the information we've got to go on.
Cool, right. Should we scores it on the doors it first? And starting with me for once this week, which is very nice. So I'm on 61. I've got Charlie Taylor coming off the bench. He's got zero at the moment because Botman, who I signed, and by all accounts on Saturday, it looked like he was going to be okay. He suddenly didn't show up, failed late fitness tests, and they seem to have found like a bigger issue with him, annoyingly. So already got a problem, already got a move to make this week. Ideally you'd love to roll after a wild card, but sadly it's not quite transpired that way. But yeah, 61's pretty good. I'm in the top million now. Don't think there'll be much damage tonight, but maybe, you know, the odd chill, the odd Cole Will owner, the odd Leno sort of thing going on. Like if he goes stratospheric, then maybe that'll knock me down into the millions, but I mean, we'll see. Kept Trippier, as mentioned on last week's emergency pod, kept Son, built the whole thing around them and Salah and Haaland, and it kind of worked out well. And to be honest, the players that I sold, Bumo, Rashford, both of them blanked, Sterling benched tonight, all looking pretty rosy. I did end up going with Bowen in the end. I didn't go with Saka, and I kind of really got away with one there. Saka and Bowen matched each other, but obviously Saka gave away two penalties, quite literally, to his teammates, Odegaard and Havertz. So that could have been a real mauling if I'd have got that one, if that had not happened. So thank you, Bukayo. You are still a star boy in my eyes. Diaby with a pair of assists, Son with the goal, Gordon with the assist as well, and Julian Alvarez with points. Haaland didn't do anything, but I was never considering Morris to bring in, and he was always going to be my captain this week. Should I have 3 more points from a Salah assist, I think? But I think yeah. We'll leave that for another day. And no Watkins, I never considered actually. However, I can afford to reverse my transfer from a few weeks ago and go back from Alvarez to Watkins. That's one to consider for me this week. But yeah, 61, all looking good. It looks like I jumped on kind of the same template that everyone else jumping on 1 week early, which means that I'm able to kind of do a few more things than others are without the same level of compromise. Namely, I can still own Trippier and Son and Haaland and Salah, and probably also own Watkins too, whereas a lot of people won't be able to do that who are wildcarding this week due to price changes. So yeah, I think I'm going to call it a qualified success of a wildcard. This week could have done better. I know Bowen had a big chance missed and a big chance created, didn't get converted. Salah still got an assist, I mentioned. But I mean, it's good, and I'm in a good place now, hopefully, to push on from here a little bit. And shall we skip to the sub story now, Sam? How has it gone for you? I haven't actually seen it.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of smugness there, I feel, from you there, Tom. It was very, very nice from you. I'm glad you're happy. It hasn't been such a good game week for me. 40 points so far. And across the board, it was just a bit disappointing. Trippier getting the 12-pointer was probably the standout, but a lot of people had already piled in on him. So because of all of the Newcastle defensive coverage as well, didn't really get too much benefit from that. Saka in the midfield, obviously, as you mentioned, he's still a star boy to you, but I'm going to have to bin him from my side for giving away those two penalties. Very, very annoyed at that. But I can understand it from a footballing context. So fair enough. He's still okay in my book. Outside of that, Alvarez is the only other proper return. Again, a little bit frustrating to own triple city attack and perform like that against Wolves. I don't think they ever really got out of second gear, and they always looked a bit susceptible on the break. So that was another reason I was looking at wildcarding by the time all the games were out over and done with as well. The one thing that was holding me off was the fact that I've got Mbeumo and Sterling to play at that time. It was on the Sunday and the Monday. And because I pressed the wildcard button on Saturday evening, I was a little bit nervous that those two might haul and then it might make my decision look a little bit foolish. That has not happened. So I'm actually in a way glad that it's been as much of a nightmare as it has been, because it just makes me feel like I've made the right decision.
Yeah.
I think there were just so many other issues in my team as well. Some of the bench fodder and the keepers were completely wrong. Rashford needed to go. He just looks completely shot of confidence right now, even with good fixtures to come fairly soon. I don't think I'd even want him for those at the moment. And I think out of the Man United assets, I'd be more likely to want Bruno. So that's another player that needed to go. City's fixtures aren't great coming up, so I don't want the triple up. I think there were a lot of moves that needed making. And by the time the games were over, 40 points so far this game week with one to play for Kabore. I don't think it's going to get much better. And a game week rank of around 6 million. That wildcard button looked mighty tempting by the end of Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it looks like Sterling's got a virus, so you might be lucky and get a Saliba off the bench, which would make things a little bit more better. With to take up to 46-ish. I completely get that. So yeah, wildcard's been pressed for you, Saturday. Especially, you know, there's a whole kind of realm of reasons behind it that you kind of started to go into there. Pressed on Saturday night. Should we move on to contemplate now? Should we wildcard? It looks like many YouTubers and podcasts are saying yes, including young Samuel over there. and on the screen, if you watch on YouTube, is Sam's team at the moment. Crystallize some reasons. You said the bench was a bit rubbish. There were a few players you didn't want, didn't look of anymore. I mean, some people are still holding on though to the same team. Yeah. You know, I saw a few people saying, you know, well, United's fixtures are still good. So Bruno and Rashford are, you know, trusted assets who have earned trust over a long period of time. So me and Nick were talking about a few weeks ago, actually. Why did that not kind of come into thinking for you, or why did you dismiss that, I guess, and kind of decide to wildcard?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did come into my thinking, and I was back and forth with you during that evening quite a bit over whether I was being maybe slightly reactionary or not, over what has just immediately happened in front of me. And sometimes it can be a bit of a visceral thing, hitting that wild card button. And I think at that time I was tempted, even at about 5:30 after the 3 PMs, I was like, I'm just going to do it and get this lot out of my side. I did sit down after that, even during the Liverpool Tottenham game, as entertaining as it was, I was mainly sat in front of a computer with a spreadsheet open. Like, does this actually make sense? Is the data matching up to what I'm seeing with my own eyes? And I think in the end, I think I hit the wildcard button actually probably later than I remembered. I think it was actually probably just before I went to bed at about quarter to midnight or something, because I was like tossing and turning in bed. Like, I couldn't get to sleep, and I was, because it was just on my mind that I had the gut feeling I needed to wildcard. And the decision that I ended up with is that I want to be targeting the players that are in the teams that look like they're actually hitting form at the moment. They're supplying good underlying data, but the players within those teams, specifically hopefully in my draft, are the ones that are gaining the lion's share of those chances in the high performing teams right now. And I think it matched up really well with the fixture swings to come. In an ideal world, I think I would have waited until game week 10. I had it in my mind before game week 8 that I'd probably use the fixture swings in 10 to really manufacture a proper change in my team. But looking ahead, Aston Villa's fixtures are good from pretty much now. Tottenham's are obviously great in the immediate term. Salah was a player that I could have waited until 9 or 10, but I think that Brighton game is fantastic in game week 8 as well. So happy to jump early on him. And he was a key trigger in wildcarding at this point as well. In terms of the players that you could hold on to, there's nothing against really holding on to the Man United players. Couple of extra good game weeks to come still. And I think Man City are always going to be decent to hold. But I still had Mbeumo. I still had Sterling. I had a lot of issues in and around like the edge pieces of my team. And overall, I looked at it and thought, this will take more than a -4 and -8 for me to even consider myself in with an opportunity of getting a green next week. And the team that I'm wildcarding to is very similar, a bit like what you said last week. The team that I'm probably going to be wildcarding to looks quite similar to the one that I'd ideally be going after in game week 9 or game week 10 anyway. So yeah, I think with all of those factors coming into it, really it comes down to one thing, and that was enjoyment. And I wasn't enjoying looking at my side whatsoever. And I already like the look of this side a lot more with the fixtures to come.
Makes sense. I mean, if you said that you were kind of, I guess you needed resolution before you could relax and go to sleep. Do you think that's important, especially if people were still kind of sat there unsure about wildcarding? I mean, for me, it was kind of gut as well, where I just kind of felt like, yeah, I've convinced myself now there's nothing really I'm holding on to. What would you say to people who are still trying to decide whether it's worth going or not, especially, I mean, did your rank come into consideration as well?
I think rank definitely does come into consideration. It probably shouldn't as much as I would let it come into consideration, but it is a factor. At some point, you're going to have to admit that you are chasing a little bit, and now I'm sub 2 million. It did dawn on me that the gap is widening. And I'm 3 or 4 moves behind any forming template at the moment anyway, or what I would consider to be the correct template that I want to be on. And I couldn't get there without a wild card. Salah is very much a part of that template for me. Son is, Madison is, Watkins probably, or at least Aston Villa attack probably is for me as well. So that's already 4 or 5 moves that I needed to make. And and then shifting around the edge pieces as well added up to, I think it's 12 changes on my wild card. So if I had any advice for someone who's looking at pressing that button at the moment, it's still definitely not too late. You'll still get some price rises out of it. But have a look at what a wild card side would look like this week. Figure out, or you probably already have in the back of your mind, what your original plan for when you were going to wild card was anyway. How different is that wild card in that week that you planned to what it is now? And I'm kind of assuming it would be game week 9 or game week 10, because that seemed quite popular. And then if it was much later on around game week 18, 19, around the blanks, have a think about how far behind you're going to be if you hold off that wild card until that point. Are there players that you just simply can't get to, like a Salah, without a wild card or without serious issues cropping up in your team elsewhere? Can you just sort it all out now and then use the next 10 game weeks to get up to game week 18 anyway? I think, I don't think there's ever like a correct, like definitive answer on whether you should wildcard or not. Gut comes into it, kind of your temperament and how you're enjoying the game comes into it as well. But fundamentally, if you're looking at your team and all you're seeing is just bad vibes all around, then I think that is your decision made in your gut for you. And that's when to hit the button for me.
Yeah, certainly makes sense. Same for me last week. And yeah, same justification, really. It's always horses for courses, isn't it? So let's talk through your wild card then. You've obviously gone for the cheap goalkeepers, Areola and Turner. Very shaky performance, I'd say, from Mr. Turner this weekend. So whether he actually does retain his place or Lacodimos comes in is going to be one to behold. I think we'll probably both be starting him this week, I'd imagine. So it'll be interesting to see. At the back, you've got Cash, who's obviously a lot of the people are steaming in now on Matt Cash. I think he's gone up, so he's 4.9 now. Kevin Manadoggi, of course. My man, Charlie Taylor, 3.9 placeholder. And you've got Byrne and Botman as two cheapies. So you basically decimated the defence entirely. No interest. I guess you've got to sell Trippier in order to afford the rest. So the rest is Salah, Son, Madison, Ward-Prowse, Diaby, and then Watkins and Haaland flanked by Archer up top. I mean, who were your key targets here? And I guess but Trippier seems to have been the one who sacrificed over Watkins. So I imagine if you go for Alvarez, then you can for Trippier, right?
Yeah. So the key targets were of the ones that I didn't already have were Salah, Son, and a Villa attacker. I think at the moment I'd slightly prioritise Watkins over Diaby, but it's definitely debatable. The fact that the value is there in Diaby as well, 6.7, much easier to get to. But knowing that I can now have Salah and Son in my team fills me with a lot of comfort. The sacrifice, as you mentioned, is Trippier. I think he is a really good player to have on the wild card this week. I would love to be able to keep him in. And full disclosure, this is just playing around with the prices. I haven't actually sold Trippier yet, so I've still got the value tied up in him, because I'm not certain that I'm going to sell him yet. Until I'm certain, I'm not going to press that button on Trippier. I think the key with most wildcards this week, and I have seen a few examples with all of them, but most of them, if you're going to create balance, has at least one of Trippier, Madison, or Watkins being sacrificed. There will be different debates over which one is the most, like the easiest to sacrifice. But in my team, I think Trippier is the one that I'd be most willing to bet against, knowing that I can still have a Newcastle defender to cover off the clean sheet. And then you're just hoping that Trippier doesn't go crazy on the attacking returns in what is a middling fixture run from this point forward, I would say. I think we've had the best fixtures. And from this point onwards, I think clean sheets are probably there and Newcastle will still tick over. But I don't really want to commit so much money to my defence on a Trippier if I'm not fully confident that it's going to be consistent clean sheets. Whereas with Watkins, I think the fixture run is just absolutely unbelievable. And Madison, especially with the next two, and then he becomes that enabler to get to Saka more easily in game week 10. I think those are two more important players for me to have on my wild card right now. Whereas Trippier, I think I hate using the word cover, but I think I can probably cover him off a little bit better with the downgrade to Burn. And then Botman obviously has just sat on my bench for the time being. And Botman could pretty much be any 4.5 to 4.7 million defender at this point. I'm not fully convinced that Botman will stay there. But for what it's worth, I think he'll be fit in game week 9. He'll just miss out in game week 8.
I think the Botman being injured has really kind of opened up again a little bit, just because it felt like we were due a long period of double Newcastle defence being necessary to make points, to have any sense of gain out of the Newcastle clean sheets. But now I think with Botman and the emergence of cash, you probably are going to be okay with just one. So I can kind of understand going with Burn. And you've also got the fact that Trippier, yes, he's 33 years old. I know he's going to still keep playing probably for the time being, but there may be times when he does kind of get dropped out. But I mean, the data for Trippier is still there. He's fourth overall, joint fourth with Moussa Diaby, actually, for expected assists this year. And he's slightly overperforming, of course, with four assists from that 2.5. But yeah, you know what he can do. And he can assist from anything. I mean, we've got a tackle assist this week, for example. And so, you know, it's always there for you, really, isn't it? But no, I think it's... I can't really fault the defence too far. I think Trippier is the best asset in the game at the moment in terms of the defence. That's why I kind of wanted to keep him for myself. But I mean, are you fairly confident then that, you know, the defenders and going cheap in the defence is going to be the way forward for the time being? So, you know, you could have, I guess there's always Gabriel for Arsenal, isn't there? City defence may be out of the picture for the time being, just the rotation there. And Trent and Robertson, I mean, those are players that could well emerge coming up soon. I mean, I know that we said that, you know, it's probably not the fixture this week for a Liverpool defensive asset with Brighton. But after that, you've got Everton, Notts Forest, Luton, Brentford, Man City, Mare, and then Fulham, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace. So maybe there'll be chances for both defensive returns and attacking returns there. I mean, are you concerned that you've kind of cut off that route now to getting a premium defender, as it were? Because I've got that route with Trippier.
Little bit concerned. I guess with Liverpool in particular, I just don't think that they're ever going to be a priority in defence, and that this might look silly in a few weeks' time, but they never fill me with loads of confidence defensively. I always feel like they're very close to conceding. Alisson gets them out of jail a lot, and that they will keep more clean sheets than you'd expect the average team to because of Alisson as well. But I think for the money, I would prefer to use that money elsewhere in attack. And worst comes to worse, it's a double transfer, taking some money out of the midfielder up front in Watkins and moving it back. Obviously, it's easier if you've got Trippier and you can get across to Robbo with one move. Trent, though, I think even if you've got Trippier, I don't really know too many times where anyone's got more than 1.5 in the bank at the moment.
No, so no, well, it'd be Robbo, wouldn't it, now? That you go to, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess you need 1.2, 1.3 to get to Trent at the moment from Trippier, but I think it's more likely that you're going to want that money in the forward line or in the midfield. So I'm fairly comfortable taking a bet against that for the time being. It might look foolish in a couple of weeks, and we know how quickly the landscape can change. But one thing that has been pretty consistent so far this season is the midfielders look to be the place where I want as much value as possible. And what this gives me is options and maneuverability in that midfield to hop on the latest thing, the latest fixtures. Saka, Mitoma and Game Week 10 as well are high in mind. Trent would be a good differential, I think. 2 years ago, you'd never think that would be a sentence anyone would say, but there's upside there. I just don't think he'll ever become like a template pick at his price point.
No, I think we've covered that, certainly. But he's just probably been priced out, which is something that we didn't really anticipate at the start of the season. We were all applauding the 8.0. So, yeah, turning to midfield, I mean, Salah, Son, you can't really argue with those. Madison, Ward-Prowse, Diaby, I suppose, I mean, my equivalents there are Bowen and Gordon. I also have Diaby. I mean, happy with, I guess, Madison makes a lot of sense. Ward-Prowse, is that sort of one you've got to throw in just to kind of make it all kind of fit together? Fairly certain on that?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, that fifth midfielder spot is giving me a lot of grief at the moment. And actually, the fourth-fifth combo is giving me a bit of grief in general, because I think what's really important with the game week 8 wildcard draft, because I've gone 2 weeks early, I don't want to just cut my nose off despite my face and remove the option of getting back to Saka for that Sheffield United home game in game week 10. Same with Brighton as well. They come into a great fixture run around there. And this draft has 0.3 in the bank. And I don't think I'm even that comfortable with just having that. I think I want to have either the money in the bank or the players that I can easily swap to get to a Saka or a Mitoma if I need to in game week 10. So in this draft, with the 0.3 in the bank, I would probably have to be either downgrading Ward-Prowse significantly to probably an Anthony Gordon around game week 10, so I could afford Madison to Saka, or I remove Son, which doesn't sit quite right with me, but it might have, like, if I went with Diaby and Ward-Prowse in the middle, I probably would have to remove Son, unless I was willing to get rid of Ward-Prowse before he hits the good fixtures in and around game week 10 as well, which seems a little bit counterintuitive. The other draft I do like the look of with the fourth and fifth midfielders different would be Bowen and Neto. That would be Gordon if he wasn't suspended. And I've tried to play around with a way of hiding him on my bench for a week. But because Botman is currently the other 4.7, I can't really do that unless I go for like an Anderson maybe. Don't really have the spare money for a share. So Gordon becomes a bit unobtainable. Neto, I don't mind, but he doesn't fill me with confidence. He's not historically explosive pick. And Wolves are a middling Premier League team at best, really. And I really don't want to be stuck with Neto for several game weeks if he finishes his hot streak fairly imminently, which could happen. And then I've got a bit of a problem at 5.6 million. So this one gives me a bit of flexibility in the fourth and fifth spots, but it does give me a bit of grief around game week 10. Out of Ward-Prowse, Diaby and Neto, Bowen, where would you lie on that combo?
I'd actually like Bowen and Neto, actually.
Yeah.
Because you've got Watkins. I think that you're okay without... I mean, I'm likely to probably this week, spoilers for later, be very tempted to have the triple up as well. But I think you'd probably be all right with Watkins and Cash. Neto's ticking over okay. It's like clear sort of talisman theory stuff, even though the fixtures haven't been fantastic. He still returned, so he's got an assist against Liverpool, got an assist against Man City as well for the Diaz own goal. I really don't mind him. I think he looks pretty decent at the moment at that price point. If you didn't have Botman, if you got rid of him, shipped him out to somebody else, and you could hide Gordon on your bench for a week. I mean, you probably need to play someone that'll be a bit icky, but it is doable. And Bowen, he is the player. I was saying last week, I had this sort of grand plan of selling him off this week for Madison due to Botman being injured. I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. But I was surprised to see Bowen's actually fifth for non-pen XGI this season thus far. He was very good in the game, pretty decent in the game, actually, as well. Should have a big chance missed and a big chance created as well. Looks to have really stepped up again this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he does have the pedigree as well to be trusted. Does have a 200 point finish under his belt a couple of years back. And very decent, especially kind of when you reach that sort of, game week 10 sort of threshold. And plus, it gives you a bit more flexibility, I suppose, because you've got that kind of price point covered. If you're assuming you're not getting rid of Son and Madison anytime soon, you've kind of got kind of the five-ish price point covered. So if Gordon does become like, you need to own this guy, he's just on fire, Barnes doesn't come back anytime soon, he's just going to play, and he's just getting points every week, then you can get there from Neto. As I said, you can cover him if you can find a way that you're satisfactorily. So you could play Archer this week, for example, and just hide Gordon on your bench. I mean, that's a possibility. And then you've got the Bowen price point covered as well for a seven-ish player who to come in as well. So I mean, there's loads of ways to skin this particular cat, but I prefer to have both of those. And it sounds a bit antiquated and old school, but I would still prefer to have those two sort of price points covered in the midfield. It certainly makes a lot of sense, though. I do like, for example, and Diaby in the top 10 for XGI again this season, which is really decent at that price point. And we said at the start of the season, didn't we, that he was going to be one who's very exciting, and he and Watkins have been combining pretty well. Obviously yellow flagged at the moment, but it sounds like that was just cramp. And at Ward-Prowse, he's actually 23rd for XGI this year. So he's not, even though he's looked very good this week, he got one of those lesser seen one bonus point without actually returning things. So doing a lot of things well, and it's just not, I mean, it's decent-ish. But I still prefer Bowen, who's looking like he's got the data behind him, the goal scoring talisman. Rather than Ward-Prowse at the moment, I'd be happy to kind of just use Watkins and just go Neto for team structure reasons, really, or Gordon indeed, and just for team structure reasons. So, I mean, up to you, but I kind of prefer that. And yeah, Son, Salah, Madison, I don't mind at all. I'm going to probably be without Madison this week. It's because, again, I've got other fish to fry. So there you go. Yeah, that's good. And finally up front, Haaland, Watkins and Archer. Watkins, obviously a source of great disappointment. Both sold him for Alvarez 2 weeks ago. Alvarez has got a one-pointer. And this week, admittedly, he did get an eight-pointer, a free bonus after getting yellow cards. But Watkins has gone on to score and got this week, obviously, the mega haul. And it's one of those where, yes, we probably should have persevered a little bit with Ollie. It's so strange that he went from being kind of what was referred to as a decoy elsewhere to being the main man. If you did look at the XG for the Brighton game, Brighton actually did XG them, and it was obviously a bit of a scorcher for Watkins, really, on a lot of fronts. But still, at that price point, there's a great kind of sense of certainty about him being consistent. And with the next kind of, I think it's up until the start of December, the fixture's looking very good. I'm very keen to probably get him in, even if it is an awkward Alvarez reversal that I may have to do, because he's a streaky bastard, basically. And you want to be in on that. As soon as the confidence goes, you want to be in on that. Like I know that it doesn't often show up in a lot of the expected circles, but he is third for non-pen XGI this year. So it's also kind of the data and the long-term observation of him do come together. And I can see why you've got him over Alvarez. I mean, I said last week about Alvarez and City. And I mean, you said earlier on, they have tough fixtures coming up. I'm not sure they do, really. They've got Arsenal next, so we can use that as a fig leaf to sell Alvarez, which is what I'll be doing. But then they've got Brighton, Man United, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs. I mean, they are tough fixtures on paper, but none of them are worrying from attacking perspective. So
no.
I suppose it kind of, do you think it comes down to you can't have them all effectively?
Yeah, I guess I'll put an asterisk on what I said earlier, tougher fixtures overall. And yeah, you just can't have them all. I think there are some 3-4-3 drafts I do quite like the look of with Alvarez in that third striker spot. I think with Alvarez in particular, he's looked fantastic this season. He looks pretty important for the way they play. I do just fear at some point we're going to get randomly pepped. And I feel like so far I've gotten away with it. And 1 week I'm going to look at the team sheet and he's just going to be inexplicably benched for no apparent reason. So I've just got that slight paranoia with him. I don't think there's any logical reason to think that's going to happen. It's more just because I've been pepped so many times before. Whereas Watkins, like you say, there's a certainty. And as much as we can say the City fixtures might not be as bad as they might look, Watkins fixtures, are definitely very good for the next six or seven. And as long as we can keep relying on him to start, which he looks much more secure to do so than Alvarez does, I think he's going to be great value for money. There's a few whispers of knee jerk going around the community and X at the moment with Watkins. And I think it's fair after a 23 point haul to accuse people of being knee jerk on him. But this is a player that ever since Emery came in has been consistently very, very good. And okay, this season it's switched formation. They've switched formations very slightly to incorporate Diaby in a more central role than previous players in that system. But Watkins is still getting plenty of chances. Like you say, third on the XGI. The data, the eye test, and the confidence that's clearly flowing through him after scoring two hat-tricks already this season all pair together to produce a really good value player at 8 million, and I want to have a part of that.
Yep. Yeah, no, me too. So, I'm obviously going to have to wait till Thursday, but I mean, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
A few questions for you. Joshua Biggs, he asked, now Gordon's out, if you're wildcarding, who's the best cheap enabler? I suppose in the setup you've got on the screen, you've got Ward-Prowse and DRB sort of both covering it, but we both sort of just mentioned then the Bowen Neto / Gordon thing.
Yeah.
If you did go with the Bowen setup, would you be kind of thinking about what I said about parking Gordon on the bench and just kind of playing Archer or something, or would you be kind of thinking, yeah, I'm just going to get Neto? So it seems like it is those two. I don't really see a case for, you know, the likes of Hamer or something like that in the cheap seats at the moment. There's no one else really that particularly kind of catches my fancy. The only one who I would potentially mention is Douglas Luiz, just on penalties, yeah, for Villa, and pretty cheaply priced as well at 5.4. But
it just knocks you out though, doesn't it?
It does. And 0.2 more as well for Gordon. It just seems like that's kind of the way to go. I mean, what do you think? Would you prefer the playing Neto this week, or do you see what I'm saying about hiding Gordon?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. I think it will be tough to do it. I mean, Archer could come in. I think it's Fulham away for Archer this week. So not actually not a bad game to have him playing. And I think out of Neto and Gordon, if both were fit this week, there's no question which one I'd be picking. Well, both available this week, sorry. It's no question which one I'd be picking. It would definitely be Gordon. So maybe I need to have a little bit of a longer term view on things and just have a look at the fact that, okay, game week 8 might not be the ideal starting 11 with Archer playing, or maybe a fourth defender if I don't go with Botman. But longer term, having Gordon will leave me happier for, well, probably until the new year, considering Barnes's injury looks like it's until January. There might be the odd benching here and there or rotation just because Isak might play on the left once or twice, but I don't see that happening very often, if at all, especially with the form that Gordon's in. So yeah, I think out of all of the cheapies, even though Gordon is suspended this week, I definitely have an eye on him. Decore maybe as like an outside option. His underlying data is pretty decent. It's not like phenomenal, but another potential differential that you could look at. And then if you really wanted to downgrade to a proper bench burner, then you go with someone like a Pelestri or a Chukwuemeka, for instance, and basically burn the spot if you're going with a proper 3-4-3.
There is one more option, and that's Andreas Pereira, or I think you can afford Harry Wilson as well. They've got Sheffield United this week. Andreas Pereira for 1 week. And then move him on to Gordon or Neto next week. I mean, or, you know, just leave it open. And that's another thing you could possibly do. Because that would be like an ultra uber differential for 1 week and then see what happens there. Because, I mean, if another fire did emerge, then yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but they've got Spurs and Brighton the next two. So there could be some goals in that regardless. But that could be one that you could throw in, you know, just chuck in for 1 week, see what happens. And then if you move them on to someone else, then fine, great, you've got points. Or at least if not, because you know, Sheffield United are susceptible from set place. So I mean, that could be another decent pickup, potentially. But there are a few things there, but it sounds like Joshua is mostly all about probably trying to get Gordon in, potentially. We'll see what you do, Sam, in the end. WTA Nick, some dude I've never really heard of before. Do you prioritise a strong 15 or a strong 11? He said to me later on that he noticed that my wild card was very much about the 15 that I'd sacked off the bench, which is completely true. I've got Archer, Taylor and Kabore as my bench at the moment. you've got slightly more strength, haven't you? You've got one extra 4.5 million defender within this sort of setup. Is that sort of a conscious thing that you do want to have at least something on your bench?
Yeah, it seems to be something I do every time. I like having that first bench spot especially with a fourth defender, seems to be the way I usually like to go. Just that little bit of depth, just in case, at least as a player that I feel slightly comfortable playing that can come in. I think because Archer is up front, you can pretty much use that as a burnt spot anyway. That's great to have, and that's added depth to what I had with Mbama previously. But if I'm playing with a true three at the back, so Cash, Burn, Adoghi, for instance, and then I have two proper burnt defenders, so Taylor and a Bayer, for instance, or a Kabore, to basically two players, anything other than a double game week, I'm not really happy to be playing, then all it takes is one injury or rotation to that back line, and I need to start looking at whether or not I want to make a transfer there, and I can't prioritise my moves in the positions where I think there's going to be more upside this season in midfield and attack. So having that fourth defender in situ just helps me prevent panicking a little bit if something were to go awry, and also can come in to cover a midfielder or an attacker getting benched as well if I absolutely need to. So yeah, it is a conscious thing. I do like having that little bit of cover. Some people and some drafts I've seen with three at the back, I think you're three at the back as well at the moment, like a true three at the back, I have looked really, really good. And it's impressive what you can do with that extra 0.5 or 1 million. But I'm just quite cautious. I think it's just my style. I like having that little bit of security just so I can make upside moves elsewhere and not panic so much with the back line.
Cool. And finally, how soon will I regret buying Darwin Nunez in my wild card, says Michael Lowe. So another player who, of course, is probably in the consideration set. Obviously, this week, probably fueled by this week, Watkins is now the man to go to. But Nunez repeating the trick of last season. XGI on the pitch is equal to Mr. Erling Haaland, and non-pen XGI on the pitch, he is above Erling Haaland on a per 90 basis. So one of those players that has one that you're kind of thinking of getting in. I suppose you can't really, because it sounds like you're kind of pretty set on the 3-5-2. So yeah, I feel like it's one you're kind of just hoping that Salah does the job. But I mean, is in an ideal world, would you be interested in Darwin and going for what I assume would be a 3-4-3?
I think if I was wildcarding next week, I'd be very interested to have him as a 1 week punt against Brighton as well. They now have Gakpo out for a little while with an injury, and Jota is obviously banned. So he looks very much in line to start this week, but just week to week, I just have not anywhere near enough confidence right now that he's going to be in that lineup. And when there are other forwards that are around the same price point, Watkins and Alvarez either side of him on the prices, that I'm much more confident are going to both start and get the attack and returns that maybe not equal Darwin if Darwin's getting 90 minutes every week, but because we can't guarantee that, I think they're much safer picks. I can understand why people are going for that upside, and the underlying data is there. So all it takes is for him to really hammer his name into that starting 11 from this point forward. But I just don't think we know that that's going to be the case at the moment. I'd always prefer to have a Watkins and then it become apparent that Darwin is just unavoidable. You've got to get him. And then I could just downgrade Watkins to Darwin eventually if I need to. I think he's an interesting differential. He could absolutely explode, but I prefer to have Salah. And from a meta point of view, Salah is now creating more chances than he ever has done before, which is really helping him on the bonus. And in previous seasons, he was taking a lot more shots and getting a lot less chances created, meaning he needed usually two returns to get max bonus. Whereas now that's kind of flipped a little bit, and Darwin is taking up a lot of shots, missing quite a few, and he's probably the one that needs two plus attacking returns to really secure those bonus points. Whereas Salah is now a chance creating machine, apparently, especially if Darwin is in the side. I really like the look of Salah's opportunities to get a massive haul off of maybe only one or two attacking returns.
Cool. Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense. Right. Well, I guess I basically have this wild card, so I quite like it. I guess I can't really see that you've got a few kind of little bits of tinkering to do, but it seems like kind of the main sort of building blocks are already there. I don't really see you deviating too far really from a lot of this, and yeah, it looks really solid to me. So hopefully you again get the bounce and you can knock a number off your rank, basically, which is what it's all about really at this point with doing it. I think, you know, I put my money where my mouth is already, so I'm pro template on this. I can see the contemplate side of it, and you said earlier on that, you know, you can see why people would be kind of saying, oh yeah, but you know, the likes of Rashford and Bruno have got good fixtures, so it's worth persevering. But I think that, yeah, it's for me, I couldn't make the case to keep persevering, and you couldn't either. And I think, yeah, it's difficult for me to rationalize that side of it, I guess, at the moment. It is really difficult. I can see, you know, the value of patience, but there's only so long you can be patient, especially if things are eroding all around you in terms of your overall rank and your team value. So, yeah. Cool. I think I'm pretty happy with that. Shall we move on to bold claims, or is there anything else you want to add on your wild cards?
No, just that I'm obviously pro template. It'd be weird if I was contemplate on this one, considering it's all about my wild card. Yeah, just final note, if you're not on a wild card this week, we're not trying to suggest you need to hit that button at all. It's all very situation dependent. Obviously, it's a massive cliche, but take a look at your team, how you're set up, and if you don't think you need to wildcard, I'm sure you're absolutely fine for this week.
Perfect. All right, bold claims time.
Yes, so last week we got another score on the board. Sadly you're still on zero, because you went for it was Luton to score one goal and lose both games in the double. They've obviously already won one and scored two, both to our dismay, because we're non-Morris owners. So I was hoping that one would come true, but sadly not. I went for a bit of a barn burner between Villa and Brighton with plus five goals. That happened. Yep. That was pretty much the only highlight of my game week seven. So please let me have this one. But yeah, that was a cracking game. I can't believe Villa dismantled them as comfortably as that. But it looks like both of those sides are very high on X fun this year, and I'm going to keep that high in mind in any fixtures that either of them play. Even if it's the opponent, they've got good chances to score in that game against either Villa or Brighton. So yeah, always looking for them on the TV schedule now. They're both great value for money, and I'm on the board with two now. Listeners, Tom, do you have something to admit?
Yeah, I actually forgot about doing it because I was too busy finalizing my own wild card on Friday.
Yeah, so, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. We may have to give you a sympathy point at some point in the season if this does actually take up. But hey,
or I mean, two bold claims in 1 week.
Yeah, maybe. I think we might have to do that this week, something like that. But yeah, there's also a season bold claim of mine, which is under threat. That was that Saka, Rashford, Martinelli and Bruno, two of them would stay in my team for at least 30 weeks of the season. We're already 1 week in, so I've got seven more weeks if I want to keep that bold claim alive, to buy both Saka and the Man United midfielder back. Is that going to happen? I don't know. So yeah, it just kind of shows again that at the start of the season you can do these sort of whimsical things, but I think anybody who's claiming to have figured it all out is talking nonsense, and that's something to always remember when it comes to this old fantasy football game era. So bold claims for this week, Samuel.
I'm starting off. Because I know you love a bit of Jarrod Bowen, I'm going with Bowen to outscore any Newcastle defender. Any Newcastle player, sorry, not defender. I guess I just had Trippier in the back of my mind there. Any Newcastle player in game week 8. Obviously, they face up against each other, and I'm backing West Ham to surprise Newcastle. I think Newcastle might be a little bit knackered after their big Champions League tie. Obviously, it looks like Botman's out as well. So it'll be Lascelles at the back, you'd think. And again, you'd imagine there's a few tired legs there. We're not sure on Callum Wilson either at this point, I don't think. So I think West Ham could take advantage. And Bowen, honestly, I'm so impressed with how he's playing at the moment. I'd love to have him on a wild card if I can have him. I think he's on for another stormer of a season, and I think he could exploit a slightly changed Newcastle defence that could look a little bit leggy. So I'm going with Bowen to outscore any Newcastle player this week.
Unfortunately, West Ham play on Thursday in the Europa League as well. Freiburg. But I don't know. Moyes has been rotating what, 5 or 6 players, as such, said on Planet
FPL
today.
Yeah, I don't think
so. We'll see what happens with that one. I'd love that to happen. So, we will see. And my one is Brentford to win against United by 2+ goals. More in hope than expectation, really. I'm not really a big United backer at all. There is some kind of reasoning behind this. So one, Brentford's defence has been pretty mean this year. They're 5th from bottom for XG against, which is pretty good. Man United, their defence is in all sorts of disarray, honestly. Got the Champions League as well, versus Brentford not having anything in midweek, so there will be a case of potentially tired legs for Man United. I just feel like both these teams are in a bit of a malaise at the moment. And the way Brentford play, the nasty way they play, especially these sorts of away games, I reckon is ripe for United, who aren't at the races, being undone and hopefully deepening the malaise further at Old Trafford, which would be very sad. Anyway, that's my bold claim this week. More of a hope than expectation. I'm on zero, so I probably need to just start going super beige soon. After international break, I may do something like Salah to score a goal.
That's so funny. I was literally about to suggest that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll do that. I'll do that if things become dire straits. Or, maybe it'll just be a case of, how much can I go? How far can I go without getting on the board? And then maybe that could be another way of doing this. And yes, we will get listener claims off this week. And I think we'll probably take 2 of them if I remember to do it on Friday, which I should. Rightio. Questions this week. Only got a few. Answered some of them, obviously, in the wildcard stint earlier on. Nathan Jacobson starts. Our team's finally starting to look a bit different. At the start of the season, it seemed teams are really similar, but now it seems like there's a lot of variety 7 weeks in. Well, yeah, I think so. I don't think there can be. If you do go with the Bowen Gordon setup, I think literally there's going to be one difference between us, 2 differences.
Oh no.
It'll be Pedro Porro versus Doggy, and then Trippier versus Burn. I think broadly we've definitely seen people kind of slope off in their own directions, which is obviously quite a good thing for FPL. Do you get the same sort of feeling from kind of social media?
Yeah, so I think there's been a divergence in strategies over the last few weeks, and it looks like there's quite a lot of different patterns, especially across midfields. The defences are starting to sort of ebb and flow apart and back together again. And I think now that a lot of people are wildcarding, we'll probably see a reversion back to a tight, maybe 5 of 6 or 7 options for the next couple of weeks. But again, the further away from a popular wildcard period, the wider that template becomes as well. So I think after this week, we might start to see a very familiar 5 out of 6 midfielders. And then the forwards are going to be basically pick 2 of Haaland and then Watkins or Alvarez, usually. And then if you're going with a 3-4-3, you've got all of them. And if you're not, you've got Archer. So it will probably start to look a little bit frustratingly template after this game week for a little while. But again, with the other fixture swings to come in game week 10, the Brighton, the Arsenal, and also West Ham as well, their fixtures, for any of us not going with West Ham now, I think there'll be a little bit of movement around game week 10 again. So yeah, it sort of ebbs and flows through the season. I think it's been an interesting few weeks with quite a lot of variance in especially that midfield area, but it'll probably come back together again in game week 8, I'm afraid.
I'm going to have to admit again that I got something a bit wrong at the start of the year, talking nonsense, which was that kind of idea that the team value didn't matter as much anymore, because it does now. It's a case it doesn't matter until it does. And it does, because as I said last week on my little kind of emergency pod, suddenly, I couldn't, it was the last kind of last gasp for me to afford Trippier, Son, Salah, Haaland plus Saka slash Watkins in one team. And you know, it, now we're at a point where there are different kind of little compromises being made elsewhere by people. And when we get to game week 10, sure, as you say, the team's going to be different, but they're going to have to compromise in different ways depending on what the meta is then. And so I think, you know, we are seeing pricing actually does begin to matter a little bit, which again is kind of impacting choices that are being made. But happily, you know, there are some FOD players who are coming through, which are kind of the less sort of known names, as the better players seem to have kind of had a faltering start. So Mitchell Sterling, since the template has been a bit shite, should we be paying more attention to the following players? Neto, Jensen, Douglas Luiz, Awoniyi, the others, and they've all outscored Rashford and Fernandes this season. I think that's kind of a good observation, really, to back up that point that, you know, that there are always going to be options. And I'm in no way, shape or form insinuating that Rashford and Fernandes are going to finish the season behind these two. I mean, that would be a miracle if that did happen. I fully expect them both to pick up points because they're simply too good not to. But we have seen that happen in the past over the likes of Hazard, a drop off after having a really good season the year before and having Anas Horribilis. So it could well be that that's the same for United. I really hope so. But, you know, we'll have to see about that. But I mean, again, it's kind of one of those things that kind of helps with wildcarding or making decisions within certain moments, because you're able to remove these players and free up that money and kind of try to kind of reconfigure either with a bit of team surgery, with one free transfer and a bit of a plan, or a Samsung wildcard. So makes sort of sense to me, that one. I suppose that kind of spills into the next question too, so we've kind of thread them together a little bit, Hassan, keep momentum going. FPL Sponge, when selling premium assets, do you prioritise poor fixtures or poor form? So he's trying to decide who to sell between Rashford or Saka to bring Son in this week. I mean, I suppose it's an easy answer for me. What about you?
Sell Rashford. 100% sell Rashford, come on. It isn't as cut and dry as fixtures over form, but it is a combination. You've got to weigh up the extremities here. Even with the fixtures, Rashford hasn't looked on it at all, whereas Saka, we know, is consistently performing even without the fixtures. So I think you weigh up the importance of the fixtures in the decision making when looking at how good or bad the form is. And I think in that specific head-to-head, I think even with the fixtures, I wouldn't be backing Rashford right now. But I mean, he could turn around and get a brace next week, and all of a sudden it looks like a silly comment, because he's a good player at the end of the day. And it just takes one little spark to get a good player back up again. But right now, it just doesn't seem anywhere near happening. And Man United, just in general, don't look like a well-functioning, well-oiled team, whereas Arsenal do. And Saka often does raise his game in the bigger matches as well. So, yeah, I think out of those two, you keep Saka and probably just cut your losses on Rashford for the time being. And then we can reassess in a few weeks if he starts looking a bit more promising, then I don't think you're going to get punished in the next couple of weeks, because everyone's going to be getting rid of him anyway.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that completely. But I mean, Rashford, again, the data's okay. If she's in the top 20 for a non-pen SGI, it's just one of those where I look at it and just think, you know what? Just trust my eyes on that one. The fixtures are there. And it could well be that, you know, he scores next week and suddenly it's a remontada and we're kind of like, oh God, how did we get Rashford in? How do we miss this? And then Wildcard's like, oh my God, I sold Rashford. Oh, I can't believe this. If I'd have waited one more week. But I mean, you can only kind of take what's in front of you and try to forecast forward that the team's not kind of working together. And as I said, I'm tipping Brentford to upset United again this week. So it makes a lot of sense to me to go just keep Saka for the time being. I know it's a tricky fixture against Man City, but Man City missing Rodri, it'd be interesting to see how they set up. And I think that, you know, there's a good chance of goals in that game. It really depends how that goes. And we'll speak about that in a little bit, actually. Goops, if you can't get to Salah, which Liverpool player should be considered for the upcoming run? I don't know. I guess you'd probably be wanting to wait and see what happens with Darwin, wouldn't you? He's the one that kind of springs to mind for me. The defender's probably a bit too expensive. Not sure you want a Van Dijk or a Matip, or there's Konate there, isn't there? And Josh the Slot has got himself suspended. There's Diaz, but then there's the travel back from the international duty over international break. So I don't know. I think that I want more information, really. I know the international break is going to be one of those. You're not going to get that much information. You know, I'd be hoping that Klopp's asked about these players, what the hell happens next. I don't know when Jota's back from injury, from suspension, actually. Might be
because it was a double yellow, it would be just one game, won't it?
Yeah, okay, so we're back in game week 9. So maybe oddly, it would be he'd be the one that I would take the punt on, I think, because there's a good chance there's more of a chance that he would play, because of what's going on. But I mean, it's very, very ropey. But if I can see why people are going without Salah, because you were saying earlier about him being really creative, that in itself might make people think, you know what, he's 12.5. Am I paying for an arch creator? Bruno Fernandes, who costs 4 million more, and could I just reconfigure everything else? But the fixture is just so good that, you know, it's kind of you're paying 4 million for the certainty that the near certainty that the guy's going to play, aren't you? So I don't know, I guess it's Darwin or Diaz or Jota, but it's very difficult to know which one I go for. If I was pushed, I'd probably say I'll go for Jota in game week 9 because he's not going to travel as far as the South American contingent. Sound about right?
Yeah, that's fair. I hadn't really considered the international break factor. I was probably going to say Luis Diaz at the moment because his expected data is looking really strong so far this season. And obviously, probably should have had even better expected data if that offside wasn't called. Anyway, for me, is probably up there if you want to directly take on Salah, obviously in the same position in midfield. But yeah, I just have no confidence in which two are going to accompany Salah in that front three at the moment. If Darwin can get a run, then he's the best of the lot, especially at that price. But again, I need to see more from him first to know that he's going to continue starting. And yeah, I mean, Salah is more creative. That might mean that he's slightly less attacking, like in terms of goal scoring threat, but maybe we're wiping 5-10% off of his goal scoring and adding 30-40% to his creative threat. So I still think he's as good, if not better, asset than ever right now. And the only reason he's not getting captained most weeks is because Haaland's in the game.
Sure. No, it makes a lot of sense. Right, let's take the next two questions as part of transfers and captains. So I guess normally we kind of try to reserve some space for what we're thinking this week, but probably there's one for me to discuss because you've had the floor for a lot of the time discussing where you are. Adam 35, who can you cover Botman replacements? That's top of mind for most people. Certainly is. I mean, I think it's probably likely to be cash for me just because, I mean, I really, you know, it's one of those where I would really like to find another alternative just to see kind of what else is out there. But the answer is that there isn't really much, to be honest. I was considering, you know, maybe like Gehi at Crystal Palace or something like that. But I just think I just kind of move with the crowd really and bring cash in this week. It seems kind of just one where there's an obvious, it's a lot of the time these are obvious kind of choices for a reason. I don't see that many actually clean sheets coming forward, actually. I'd expect Wolves to score against them. I'd expect West Ham to score against them over the next two, but it's that sort of mad attacking sort of possibility with cash, which makes me think that's kind of where I'm going to go with it. I've actually got a question though. I'm not entirely sure. So, I mean, if you take the weakest link theory in your team, I could do what you said you're going to do, and I could actually park Botman on my bench, and I've got enough money in the bank, so I left money in the bank for Saka. I could actually start using that money and take Taylor or Kabore out for Botman for cash instead and leave Botman. But if I sell cash for Botman, it means I can afford Watkins for Alvarez. So I'm pretty tempted to go down that route. I'm really tempted to do that. And so it's one that I'm going to have to think about a lot. But I mean, it seems like cash is a bit of a no-brainer for me in the situation, doesn't it? I really can't see anything else, any other kind of alternatives there, at least the ones which aren't kind of esoteric or a bit strange.
Yeah, I think cash is probably the one for Botman right now. I think double Newcastle defence with the fixtures ahead probably isn't a necessity as well. So parking Botman on the bench for a week to bring him back in after game week 9 in the hope that he does start in game week 9, I think seems maybe overkill if you've got Trippier already with all of that upside in Trippier as well. I don't think you need the double Newcastle defence with the fixtures to come and the fact you've got Trippier. So yeah, I'd definitely be getting rid of Botman for cash. For -4 to get Watkins for Alvarez, don't know. I might be tempted to just hold it a week.
I think it'd be unaffordable then. So it'd be 0.
You reckon?
Yeah, because it's 0. I've only got 0.1, and that's likely to be 0.0 by the time we get round to Friday or at least Thursday night. So yeah, I'll need to make a decision tonight. Not tonight, on Thursday night. But I'm pretty tempted to do it just because Watkins, as I said, is a streaky bastard. Need to see what happens with DRB as well. I suspect it's probably going to be all right. If not, you know, worst case scenario, I get Taylor or Kabore off my bench, which is not great, but that's the price I've paid really for how I've set things up. But again, you know, I've been in a situation where I've got Watkins, Salah, Son, Trippier and Haaland, of course, all in one team. So I think that might be quite good. So I think I might do that. And I think I'm going to play Turner this week, as mentioned, see if he does actually get the start. So I think Newcastle are likely to score against Areola, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And the final question this week, which links into our captaincy choice. Is this the week we finally don't auto-captain Haaland, asked Dave. Do you still feel worried about the early game hoodoo with Spurs players? And is there another option if so? So, I mean, I'm bust on Son at the moment. I assume that would be where you go. Or are there any other options out there?
Yeah, I think it is a week that you could take on Haaland. Arsenal away, he could still haul. Let's face it, it's Haaland after all, and it is Man City. But I think if there was ever a week that is presenting itself as an opportunity, now is probably the time. Son will probably get 70-ish minutes against Luton, so you could definitely look at that, and the fixture is plumb for that. Mm-hmm. But the other one is Salah away at Brighton. Brighton, as I mentioned earlier, are very high in the X fund, and they're not going to change the way they play against anyone. And Salah, if he goes up directly against Estupiñán down that wing, then that could be fun. Estupiñán often ends up in the centre forward role for Brighton, so any pacey counter attacks, Salah could really profit from that. He should get 90 minutes as opposed to Son, who probably won't. I could see a lot of people ending up with Salah in the conversation. Son will be very popular as well. Yeah, and then there will be those who remain loyal to Haaland. But I think if there was ever a time to take him on, this is potentially one of the weeks that you could look at doing it.
I really like Salah this week for captain. Yeah. I think the way you're looking at it is 90 minutes for Haaland, probably almost definitely, 90 for Salah, 60 minutes for Son. I think 60-65, because he's carrying an injury. It seems quite clear. You may, it's a complete conspiracy theory bollocks, but you may see, you know, that maybe Tottenham will ham it up and so he doesn't go on international duty to South Korea. Who knows? But it's one of those where I really like the look of Salah for this week. And, you know, a lot of this is so dependent on how that Arsenal City game goes, because I suppose we often think of these kind of big games as games which don't elicit that many goals, but oddly they do tend to be ones that you shouldn't shy away from too much. They do tend to be games where the big players kind of step up, and they do tend to be games that do elicit far more than you actually think. It's actually a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be when I first looked at it. And I do really like Son. He's where the bus is at the moment, but I've got a nagging feeling about Salah this week. I think it might be a really decent kind of captaincy shout, just because I think that game again is prime for goals. We have seen with Brighton that after a big mauling, they do tend to come back and do well, beating Newcastle after beating West Ham, for example. So we'll see how it goes with that one. But Liverpool, doing fairly well. Brighton defensive data is all right. It's not great. It's kind of, they're in the bottom half for XG conceded this year, for example. So they're not, it's not great. And then I think it's like, I saw something saw earlier that there's like their fifth for goals per 90 scored against them. So they are giving up chances, giving up goals. could be one where you kind of opt for the 90-minute man and a slightly more attacking-friendly fixture than Haaland. But I feel like Son is the obvious standout, so I don't really want to be overthinking it too much. I think it will probably be, it's still going between those three. I'll have to really think about how risky I'm feeling, really, because, I mean, it's going to be... I don't think anyone's going to... Son may reach 100% EO, maybe. Haaland will definitely be over 100% EO, so either way we're going into the game with 10 men. Maybe it would be the case you captain Haaland, because then if you don't think that Son's going to reach 100%, you at least get 11 men that week, if that makes sense. So that could be another way you'd think about it, another way you sort of gamify it. But it does seem like a week where you kind of want to kind of throw caution to the wind and go for it with a different player rather than the basic captain. But you know, you are really going to be up against it if you go against Haaland. That's always going to be a consideration for you. And I don't know, I'm not convinced that there won't be goals in that Arsenal City game. It seems a bit sort of fallacious to assume that it's going to be a game that's going to be a dry one. Arsenal have been defending well, but with these big gains, it's almost like, as you say, all bets are off. So yes, it's one that I'll need to think about over the course of this week. Sounds like you're not sure either. Just Son.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's on Son. I think I'm more tempted to captain Salah than I am Haaland as it stands. I need to really look at the data and have a look at some of the previous matchings between Arteta and Pep to see if there's any sort of tactical hoodoo that goes on behind the scenes there. But yeah, I'm quite tempted by that Salah matchup against Brighton. I think that could be profitable for him. 60-70 minutes of Son, I think I could bet against. If I think there's a chance he gets 80-90, then I'd be tempted to just leave it on him. So we'll wait to hear more from press conferences through the week. If I'm confident that he only gets 65-70, then I might be tempted to bet against him and go with Salah.
Cool. Well, there we go. Lots to work through tonight. But hey, I think we've done it well. I think we've done it within a good sort of time frame. So yeah, all good, I think. All good. Let's see where the captaincy goes and see how far you tinker yourself into oblivion over the next week.
It'll be a fun week. Yeah, I can't wait to really get stuck in with the tinkering throughout the week. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for listening to my wildcard woes this week. We were Who Got the Assist. As always, you can find us on X at WGTA_FPL or myself at FPL Pricey, or on Instagram or Threads at WGTA.FPL. Again, I'm just FPL Pricey on there. If you enjoyed the pod today, please, if you could do one or all of the following, including giving us a follow on those socials, give the pod a 5-star rating if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever. And if you're watching on YouTube, it'd be really appreciated if you could leave a like and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out on any future content.
Perfect. Thanks, Sam. Back next week for a pod looking at what we've learned over the opening two blocks of the season before we head on to the next international break and how we might advise ourselves in future seasons. Some sort of time capsule pod. Just a little idea that we had. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed the pod. We hope we assisted you. Good luck to those on wildcard. No luck to Morris captainers. Cheers. A speed next week.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Podcast Network.